Hey, what's going on, everybody? Y'all doing all right tonight? Welcome to the Reseller Therapy Session, and I got my co-host, Gary. What's up, my buddy?
Not much, man. How you doing?
Doing great. And Rachel Strickland's in the house. How are you, my friend?
Hey, guys. Awesome.
Welcome, everybody who's in the chat. Gonna do a little bit of resell therapy tonight. We're gonna talk about needy customers, those people who just keep asking questions and won't buy or go away, who just want to know, as Rachel said earlier, the circumference of the ankle of the jeans, you know, just the measurements you never actually can make them happy about. So we're gonna rant a little bit about that tonight because we've had some recently. I've had one recently. We got lots of people shouting out in the chat. How y'all doing tonight? We got Melanie. Hey, everyone. Thanks for joining us, Melanie. And we got Christopher Nutter. Hi. How are you, buddy? Christy's here from Closet Tech. Mom's Closet, Texas. I can't get that right. Every time from Texas, I was going to say. Oh, man. Oh, man. Christy's here. Colin's on the move. How are you? And then Mr. Christopher, I buy stuff. How are you? How are you? We got a really cool new game for you tonight. It's called, well, we won't ruin it right here, right now. Let's just say we got a new game for you tonight. We've got two co-hosts going to play it, and there is no winner other than the rights of calling themselves the winner.
So. That's a pretty big prize.
Yeah, it's bragging rights. I like that.
Sound like fun, guys? Y'all want ready to have some fun tonight?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Well, let's just catch up and see what's going on. It's been about 2 weeks since we talked last, but Gary, you weren't able to join us. How have you been, man? What you been up to?
Man, I tell you that it's been quiet, but it hasn't been. And I'm going to humble brag here for just a second. I got back from the British Virgin Islands a couple of days ago, and it was absolutely beautiful down there. If you can tell, I'm a little bit more tanned up and a little sunglass line going on.
Rachel,
there,
that must be why the camera actually looked better.
I was just thinking that
probably it probably is. It complements my skin tone a little bit better.
The ring light's not blowing your skin color out, really.
That's right.
Like mine.
Yeah, so that was really, really cool. So my wife and I spent some really good time there and had a great trip. So
that was for the birthday, right? Your wife's birthday?
No, just in general. Oh, no. This is just stuff we do. Yeah,
you blew that one now.
She always gets spring break off, and spring break always falls around her birthday anyway. And so
I'm going to tell her happy birthday anyway. So happy birthday.
That sounds good. Yeah, she'll appreciate it if she's watching.
What's going on with you, Rachel? How have you been lately?
It's really awesome. Just amazing. What do I have to complain about? Not a thing.
How's Drew's YouTube channel going on?
It's going well. He randomly posted a video the other day about Joyce Hangers. So it's just interesting to see like the difference in what his content is versus mine. And I mean, he got several views about Joyce Hangers.
That's really good. I'll be very honest with you. The one that caught my attention first when I went to go check out his channel here in the past week was about installing light switches.
Yeah. And
guys, I'm telling you, it's about light switches, but it was one of the most entertaining light switch videos I've ever seen. So y'all need to go check out Drew Strickland's YouTube channel. He's kicking it off right, man. I'll tell you that right now. For real. I feel like I could go do my whole house, rewire my whole house.
Right? He makes me think that I could do some of that stuff. I guess I could because I have an electrician on call all the time in case I screw it up.
Yeah, that's true. Gary, you do any electricity? You do your own electrical work in your house or anything like that?
I try not to, but I mean, I can do some. I mean, I can
it's
do
a new
some
house,
basic
you don't want to burn
stuff
it down.
And all that. There's that. Also, I don't want to burn myself up. You know, it's like, is that wire hot? Like, touch it right there. But no, I mean, I do a little bit. You know, I can change out, you know, fixtures and fans and, you know, put switches in and things like that. But heavy electrical work, I'm going to leave that to the pros.
You're more on the mechanic side, right? You got
Jeep
YouTube channel coming out, and you've got not coming out, it is out. You've got the new video talking about weather and radars in your car. Ain't that cool?
Yeah. Just posted it today, as a matter of fact. So Android Auto, and I guess Apple CarPlay as well. Android Auto used to have a limitation where it didn't have a live weather radar that was available through an Android Auto app. And so now it does. And you can go onto my YouTube channel and go check it out and see what the name of that app is and how it can display and apply for you and the use you can get out of it. So I'm a weather nerd. So I was thrilled when I saw something like that, but it's actually really, really cool.
Yeah. I got to admit, I just look out the window when I'm driving. to see the weather.
No, that would be like super useful, especially here lately. We've just been slammed with the severe weather around here. I mean, it's been horrific for some people. I don't know when we're going to, like, when the storms are going to stop.
Yeah. Right. Have you have any major ones hit you close? Like,
well, the other day I had my whatnot scheduled, but I finally let my son leave the house because we had just been like at home waiting. You know, we were in these tornado advisories. And I'm not kidding you, like the sun come out and everything. I told him to go ahead and go to his girlfriend's, and he was gone 5 minutes and the sirens went off because they had like radar indicated just down the road from us, but nothing ever touched down. And then last night, like at 3:30 in the morning or so, you could hear the thunder was so loud. It woke me up. And that's about when that just tragic tornado hit Glen Allen. It's about 48 miles from us. Mm-hmm. The one that hit last night. And then this afternoon, 17 miles south of us in Malden, that's the town that I'm actually from, they had a windstorm come through there and tear up their town. And I'm just like, man, I guess it's the mix of the hot and cold. It just got hot here so soon. So that radar thing in the car would be really cool, Gary. I'm going to have to check the video out and see. Because you always need to be up to date if you live in like Tornado Alley. I know Melanie, she's in Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure she'd like something like that too.
Yep. Absolutely. Plus the ability to be able to tank it mobily, you know, like, again, if you're driving or something like that, maybe you don't have the ability to check your phone because of laws in your state or something like that. So for it to be able to display on your car's infotainment screen is actually, I think, a very, very big win.
That is a good, that's a really good point. I didn't think of. Yeah. Your point, Rachel, about he just left the house and 5 minutes later you heard the siren. That comment instantly reminded me of how I get when I'm not near my daughter or my wife. Both of them, of course, drive. And if something is going on in the area, I instantly start worrying about.
That's my dad. He can't hear a siren and not check on us.
Yeah, they went down to the beach without me this week, and it's a 4-hour trip. I mean, it's not a horrible trip. It's just a 4-hour trip, but it's one of the dangerous roads in America, if I'm not mistaken. Is it still America, Gary, or just Alabama?
I think it was America at one point. Yeah, that was also before they made it the 4-lane. When all that was 2-lane, mostly going to the beach.
Yeah.
Yeah, good luck.
It still has that bad connotation.
Oh, it does. Yeah. Yeah.
But I can't help but worry, man. When they go down 4 hours without me, I'm not the one driving. They're the one driving. It was dark. I just can't help but worry about it. Text me as soon as you get there so I know you're safe. Yeah.
I know, right? That's how I am. I use that Live 360. It's so great. So you can see where everyone's at all the time.
Check this out. Melanie's dropped a customer, needy customer. Will the waffle iron toast bread?
Sure.
Now, where does that even come from? So that you can make waffles with toast and
it's
not
gonna put indentations in it though. You're gonna have little canals and crevices.
It's gonna come with a butter trap.
Yeah. Hey Justin, how are you, buddy? Thanks for coming out and hanging with us tonight. We're talking about needy customers. So if you got any stories, drop them in the comments and we'll share them with everybody. Chrissy says, yes, the waffle iron will toast bread. It will look like a waffle though. Yeah.
Say, have we had the conversation on here before where I talked where you can put a can of cinnamon rolls in the waffle iron and press it down and it becomes basically a cinnamon roll waffle? It's amazing. Mm. Then you use the icing that comes with it to put all over the waffles, the cinnamon roll waffles.
I'm about to go to Publix. I'll be right back.
Yeah. You need to try this.
I love cinnamon roll, man. I was down at my family's house visiting, and we just got this Wild Hare to make pancakes, but we were using like a Bisquick mix, but there was only so much of it. It was like some baking mix. And I was like, what do we have that's similar? And we got out this chocolate cake mix and added it in. They were the fluffiest pancakes ever. They were so good. Maybe they were waffles. I don't remember. One of the two. But we mixed in chocolate cake mix with the Bisquick.
Nice.
So I picked up I think it was called a Pro Wear or Pro Wearing or Wear Pro Professional Iron Waffle Iron. The ones that spin and lift up and all that good stuff. So I had to test it, make sure it worked, right?
Of course.
So I made up some Bisquick waffle mix, and
I bet you had too much mix in there.
No, I didn't. No. That's not where I'm going at all. I had the idea to go ahead and mix it according to the directions, which was, I think, 3/4 cup water to like 2 cups mix. Anyway, I can't remember. I put like 1/4 cup of French vanilla creamer in it.
Oh,
that was so good.
That's interesting. Like in place of the water?
No, not like in addition to. It was really thick. And I was like, that's just too thick to work with. So I put a little bit and I was like, I'm going to do French vanilla creamer. Put French a quarter cup French vanilla creamer. Oh, it tasted so good. Almost like a birthday cake, you know? Oh, so good.
Ooh,
so.
Bang Energy has a birthday cake flavored Bang. I don't know if you guys ever tried it. I know Melanie has because we've talked about it. I think she's tried every flavor. But it like you can taste the, you can feel the sprinkles. That's how much.
Really?
My dad had one and he was like, I was testing to see if I swallowed a candle. Like it tastes just like a birthday cake.
That's crazy that they could get the flavor so dead so on like that. Mm-hmm. That's awesome though. Melanie, yep, I was up all night. The weather guy said, don't go to bed until the warnings stop. That's scary. That's freaky to me. I'm glad we don't have, well, I was going to say, I'm glad I don't have weather like that here, but I know, Gary, you've had some issues like that in the past.
Oh, yeah.
Nighttime tornadoes are no joke because you can't see it coming. You're dependent on the radar.
Does it actually sound like a train? Like,
yes, everyone that I've ever, the last one that hit in our town, it hit just three houses down. And he said, he looked out, he was in his backyard and he looked down and he could see it. And he ran inside, his boy was sleeping, his 6-year old, and he jerked him up. He said, they ran across the street, closed the cellar door, and all you heard was like a train.
That's crazy.
I listen for the noise when I'm watching the radar on the news saying it's coming your direction. I promise you, I live in some sort of vortex.
No, I mean, that's the noise when the tornado's like actually on your house.
Right. You're not going to know. You're not going to hear it. Until
you're not going to hear it coming up like that?
No.
No.
Oh,
no.
So I'm totally way off then.
Yes. Yeah.
I was thinking you would hear it coming because it sounds like a train.
Okay.
See, clearly I haven't been part or anything like that. Like I said, I live in a vortex. If it's pouring rain a mile down the road, it's sunshining on my house.
Hey, that's nice. So it's just Jesus shining on you.
I mean, Gary can vouch for it. We will go play golf. Golf is like 2 miles away from my house.
Yeah.
And it will start drenching us before you know it. And then the game gets called. I drive home. There hasn't been any rain at all in my house or in my street at all.
Wow.
It's really crazy how it works. But because of the vortex I live in, I can't watch Gary's weather radar and expect it to actually happen like it says it's going to happen. Customer says, will this dog shampoo kill worms? That's a
As if you're a vet.
Question.
Sure. Why not?
How would you guys answer that? First, I want to know how Gary would answer because I feel a lot of sarcasm coming on.
Why not? Now, here's the ingredients. Here's a picture of the ingredients. You tell me if it kills worms. I don't know.
I've heard that it has. What would I say? I would probably reply back to something to the point of, I'm not a smart butt, so I would try to answer them politely. And I would say, it doesn't say anywhere on the bottle that it does. That's all I would say.
I would say, I've never shampooed worms with it, but I assume it would be safe.
That's a good one. You went the reverse side of it all.
That's right.
I have the innate nature in me to please the customer. Okay. I want to answer their questions no matter how far-fetched they may be. Truly, I do. But if they just kept coming at me and coming at me and coming at me with far-fetched questions, eventually I'm just like, you know what? You're not the buyer for this. I figure out a way to tell them it's not the best product for you. Or a lot of women say, no, I want to avoid that return. So a lot of women say, no, it won't do that. You're not looking for this. But I think my limit is maybe 3 questions. Once they hit me with that 4th question, I really start to lose interest in this sale. What do you think?
Especially if you've been fairly descriptive. I mean, if you've got a pretty good description going, you've got pictures going, you know. My favorite is, what is the color of this? Has anybody ever asked you that?
Yeah.
Like, what
about
is the
a green
color?
Shirt one
like,
time?
And I'm like, I perceive color different than the way you'll perceive color. Mm-hmm. So if I tell you it's more like an Irish Kelly green, you're going to say, oh, it's more like a mint green or something like that. You're going to perceive it differently, you know. At what point does this question asking start to look like a return about to happen, you know? Yeah,
that's why I 100% always stay subjective. I'm sorry, I use the word backwards. Always say objective, never subjective. And to that question, I've got it before. I say the picture is accurate to color. The picture is accurate.
Right.
So what you see is what you get. I don't try to tell them a color or mint green or hazel or anything like that. That's subjective, in my opinion.
It is.
Rachel, what's your question limit? Have you got one?
No, not really, because like I've taught kids a lot in my life, so that's a lot of questions. And I always tell kids, like, the only dumb questions are the ones you ask yourself on the way home. Ask anything. So, but at the same time, like, yeah, really. And but at the same time, like, it depends on what their questions are, because you can still kind of field a return waiting to happen if it's honest questions, because my descriptions aren't that great. I like it's the title and see all the pictures, right?
That's what I do.
Yeah. So I understand you could actually have a few questions, but no, I won't measure. Like we were talking, what is the circumference of the calf of these jeans or the ankle opening? It's not, it's a no. I'm not, especially when jeans are like a $12 sale, probably. I don't know. That's probably really lazy of me. Don't do that, guys. But that's what I'm just being honest.
You just reminded me. I had a customer. I put a picture of the measurement. I don't like write the measurement in my description. I put a picture of the measurement. And on shirts, I'll do from tag to bottom and armpit to armpit. Those are the only two pictures I take. Unless it's a long sleeve. If it's a long sleeve, I go from tag across the shoulder and then down the arm, right? This guy wanted a picture of shoulder to shoulder.
Yeah.
And I'm like, in my head, I'm thinking, I have never been asked for a shoulder to shoulder. And I'll say, please see the pictures for measurements. And that's all I said, even though I knew that one wasn't in there. And he came back with, no, I need a picture of shoulder to shoulder. Now, I have already folded this shirt up, packed it away in my inventory, and I pack it with tissue and cellophane. So.
Yeah,
it's going to be a bit of a headache to find it in inventory, take it out, unfold it, take a measurement. Anyway, I kind of ignored him, hoping he'd go away, but he didn't. And then he came back and I was like, I'm sorry, I don't have that measurement. And he's like, well, why can't you just give me the measurement? I was like, because it's already packed up and ready to be shipped out as soon as somebody buys it. And I've never been asked for that measurement before, or otherwise I would have provided it up front. And he insulted me now. He went straight to the insults. He was like, I don't see how you possibly have a 5-star rating with customer service like you have. And I was like, you know, whatever. Block. So I just don't need that in my life. I don't need that customer.
Yeah. And I don't know. I think some of those measurement questions are quite odd, because if you were shopping on any other traditional site, the measurements that you're going to find, like female clothes, you're going to find bust and waist and hips. And so when you ask me for something like midway between the third rib and the second, like diagonal of the hip, you know, like if your body is that specific, online shopping may not be for you. And it could be that, like, I can't buy jeans online. I've, you know, like they need to fit my hips perfectly, but I'm not bugging some seller for like the thigh measurement either.
There you go. But, and see, maybe that's because we're resellers. So I asked my wife once before we started this, I asked her, I said, am I being petty by not wanting to answer questions that I've answered in the pictures already? And she told me, she was like, oh yeah, totally. Just answer the question, Adam. I was like, well, I ain't got time for you, girl.
Why is being petty a negative trait sometimes? Like, seriously, you know, I mean,
I'll be petty about things. Like, I'll also point back at the pictures, because if they didn't see picture 11, which clearly shows the measurement, then they didn't see all of your pictures and you could have pointed out a flaw. So I will like screenshot it and then attach it and say, hey, here's a screenshot of picture 11. Be sure you see all the photos. That way I'm answering their question. I'm also kind of like being a little petty, like I answered that in the photo, but then I'm reminding them, the best description are these photos. You have to look at these.
And you're just pushing them in the direction of making sure they can do their own homework.
Yeah.
So Justin says, has this item been in a smoke-free home its entire life? That's a really good question that I've heard sometimes. And I think it's a good one. And I don't think it's a bad question from the customer. However, I have no idea if, what do you think? I mean, is it they don't realize that they don't look at our store? Yeah, I get that. Justin, I see where you're coming from because I'm a reseller and I know what your inventory is like. But I could also see where a person wouldn't realize that we've got an inventory full of stuff that was never ours.
I used to get this with Harley Davidson shirts, and the answer was always no, you know, on that. It's like, because they'll always smell like smoke and motorcycles and freedom. Yeah. So it's just, you know, it's just how it is, but
grease, gasoline.
Yeah, that's right. Actually,
those cigars.
Are more, those are more desirable. I'd pay double. But I think it's a legitimate question in those regards. If the shirt smells like smoke, would you want to buy it? You know?
No. That's not what he's asking, though. He didn't ask. Yeah, does it smell like smoke? Just, he's asking, has it been from a smoke-free home its entire life? That's a completely different question.
Right, but I think you could answer it by smelling it, you know, and saying, okay, yeah, it doesn't smell like smoke. Nope. So I could probably say, yeah, it's been smoke-free its whole life. Yeah, why not? You know.
Yeah, and then like one that kind of goes hand in hand with that question is how many times has this item been washed? And I feel like even if it was yours its entire life, I never keep a tally of how many times I wash an item. So I don't know, perhaps if it was like a formal piece or something, you would know how many times you had it dry cleaned or laundered. But I always find that question a little bit odd, because that to me is someone that's probably too picky to buy secondhand, but they just don't know it. But having like a background in real estate, I've dealt with a lot of picky buyers. Mm-hmm. And then even as soon as like the kids would like the house, the parents would, and I say kids, we're talking about like 20, 30 something year old people. And then their parents would show up and be even pickier. So sometimes people just, you know, you look at someone, you're like, you're going to be one that's going to have to build your own house. Well, some buyers are going to have to buy new, because they would truthfully never be happy with a secondhand blouse.
Yeah. When it comes to real estate, I knew that we were going to have to build for that same purpose. We looked at maybe 2 dozen houses.
And there's always something wrong with it.
There's always something not right that we couldn't live with. So.
Yeah.
Grumpy Picker says, you all need to come to Kansas for a visit during tornado season.
I don't think
you're selling us on the idea. Exactly.
No. I would come for that reason. Yeah. I would love to come there. I want to be a storm chaser. Like, I want to be a storm chaser so bad. It's crazy. So
that would be cool.
Yeah. Get to drive the coolest cars. You get to go chase tornadoes. I mean, that's awesome.
Isn't there a rating for jobs for like insurance? Like, that's a pretty high dangerous job, don't you think?
I mean, if you tell them you're storm chasing, you know, why would you do that? Like, what are you doing? I'm a meteorologist, you know?
Spin it a little bit. There you go.
There's a guy in our
it's
town.
Not untruthful.
He's a storm chaser. And I mean, his page gets a lot of action during this tough year. Mm-hmm.
Christy says, I had to accept a return on Poshmark due to color.
I'm surprised at that, Christy.
Me too, because it's Poshmark. I thought that they would have been a little bit, seller. Yeah. What was it like? Listed as green and it was really blue? Or, I mean, that'd have to be a drastic change, right, Chris?
Okay, you know the dress, like, is it ivory or is it blue? Is it, you remember the dress? Okay, and it's been like 8 years since that dress, just so you guys know. But my dad sent me a picture that my mom had this purse listed, and it's a Coach bag, and he's like, is this green or black? And I'm like, it's black, because the leather is black, and I don't think Coach would have made that green. I think it's black. And he's like, your mom says black, it's definitely green. Well, I go visit them, see it in person, and it's like, it's kind of trippy, and we can't decide. So finally we're like, the purse is definitely black. And then he has a buyer reach out to him, and she's like, are you sure this purse is black? It looks green. And I was like, oh my gosh, I don't know what
we're back to the dress again.
Yeah, it's just like the dress, because kind of, and it's like a tapestry, you know, a jacquard pattern. So it has those different sheens to the threads to make a pattern, you know, and I think it's black.
And that's so weird, because you could have been, like you said, you took the picture, you listed it the way you saw it. In fact, you got it in front of you and the picture, and they look identical. And then somebody else off the wall just thinks it's a completely different color. That's weird to me. There's nothing you can do to avoid that, though.
So, you know, whenever the dress thing happened, you know, the dress that almost caused a civil war, the funny thing about it is that my wife and I actually did get into an argument about this. I was like, it is blue. It is undisputably blue. And she says, no. It's white with gold. And I said, I'm looking at it. I'm like, what reality are we living in right now? There's no way that that's white. The funny thing is that now the dress was blue, like in real life, you know. The funny thing is I did see the dress as white once, which was crazy. Yeah. It was right after I woke up and I was looking at my phone, and the dress was white for about 5 seconds. And then it switched to blue in my eyes. And I was like, well, that's weird. You know,
I think it was all in whether or not your eye was compensating the temperature.
I think so. Yeah.
And some people's eyes would compensate and take out that cool blue, mm-hmm. and the dress would appear white. And some people's eyes didn't compensate that and just mm-hmm. saw blue. And so it's trippy.
That's very trippy.
I dated guys that thought peanut butter was green.
Yeah, well, it's probably a good thing you broke up with them. I don't know what...
You're a vegan, so maybe it is. I don't know.
So what peanut butter are they eating?
What kind of peanut butter
are you making? Brown is
pistachio butter?
Severely colorblind people. Anyone in the chat so severely colorblind that you confuse brown and green?
Yeah. So
Mike says...
Peanut butter's going off, man.
Corey with Graham's Pops and Graham's and Pops Vintage has a rule. One question per $10 in value.
That's hilarious.
I like that. I do like that.
So if it's like a $20 item, no more than two questions tops.
Christy has such a good tip.
I originally read this as $10 per question. Like it will cost you $10 to ask a question. I was like, that's a pretty good rule too. No, I didn't. I don't know. Can you click on them?
I've heard other people say this too, that they've used Crayola crayons to show color before. Like the salmon crayon and put it next to there because there's such a variance, even if you described it the way Pantone would, and there's still going to be a variance in the monitor or the phone.
Yep.
Like I have a blue light filter on, you may not. So again, it looks more green to you than, so that's right. Weird.
That's very true. I've got three monitors set up in my house and none of them look the same depending on. Just the color temperatures are completely different because of the make and the model of who made the monitor. So that's a brilliant point I never thought of. So getting away from the whole color conversation, I had a guy want to buy a new Wave oven from me on Mercari. And I've got like four of these things listed at this point in time because at Christmas they were selling like hotcakes, but now I can't get rid of them. So I was happy he was asking questions because I'm going to appease him and get this sell, right? But he like the questions he was asking were unfortunately things that weren't with it. Like, does this one have an extended ring? And I was like, no, but I have one that does. See this listing. Oh, well, that one costs too much. Can I have that one for this price? I was like, no.
It costs too much.
I mean, like, I literally have them priced down below market value because I want to get rid of them. So those are the types of questions that kind of rub me the wrong way, even after one or two questions. No, I'm not going to give you this item that has less with it for the price. I'm sorry, the one that has more things that goes with it for the price of the lesser item. And I just don't roll that way. Christy says, I have some chatty customers. I think they are often older, lonely people. I just try to stay professional. That's a good point. I don't get a lot of those, but I've heard people do. They just get somebody's ear and now they just want to talk to them.
I did recently. Recently, a guy made an offer. He was super sweet, but he made an offer on this this Barbie doll case. And he said, you know, negotiating is what makes the world go round. So it was clear he just wanted to dance. So instead of taking his offer, I danced back and met him halfway. And I said, cut me some slack because I have to mail this all the way to Washington, which as far as USPS is concerned, may as well be the other side of the planet. And so he comes back and accepts the offer and then says, are you sure that's going to be enough for shipping? You know, he's like, now he's thinking, oh, I should have just gave you your list price. He said, it is very far away from Southeast Missouri. That's the reason I live here. He said that he actually grew up in my area and that he told me the town he grew up in. And I was like, I see why you moved. And we had this whole conversation. And he's like, my sister used to have a case just like this. This may very well be hers. And he's like, I'd love to own it. And it was so much to ship it to him. But he was just so thrilled to have it that I sent it.
That's very a cool. good story. Mm-hmm. You're like, the world gets that much smaller with questions like that and making relationships like that. Mm-hmm. Fireball Flipper says, I get stressed when a buyer asks questions in a different language.
Had that happen before.
Only pray that Google Translate is accurate.
Yeah.
Gary, do you remember your scenario? I don't think I've had that happen to me.
Yes, Russian. It was, which is a hell of a thing to copy and paste. Can I just say that too? But the person I had, this is years and years ago, dude. Remember we had this discussion about how long Gary's been around with eBay, right? This was, 15 to 20 years ago, somewhere in that time frame. I was selling a fur coat that this one lady had, and I used to sell things for commission. That's how dumb I was back in the day. I sold it to a lady in St. Petersburg, Russia. And she was, now here's the thing. Now we talk about needy customers, right? So first off, the translation, I had to do all the translating through Google Translate. Luckily, Google was somewhat robust at that point where you could, you know, do it. It wasn't as smooth, but you got along. Shipped it to her, everything like that. Well, you can imagine what Russian customs is like, you know, and the stuff coming in. And it, here's the thing, you can't guarantee anything after the sale when it comes to something like that. And so she, I mean, it took, I think, a good solid 2.5 months to get to her. And she kept writing me back and writing me back saying something like, it's getting very, very cold here. And I'm like, well, what do you want me to do about it? You know, I'm showing that your package is in customs. Go to Moscow and go talk to whoever you need to talk to, because I don't know what else to do. You know, do svidaniya.
And they just kept coming at you more and more and more.
Right.
Crazy.
Does do svidaniya mean hello or goodbye? Anyway, it doesn't matter. But somebody in the chat speak Russian.
let's say hello to a first time viewer, Kitschi Kinsey.
Kitschi Kinsey.
Is that right? Kitschi Kinsey. Thanks so much for joining us tonight. I'm so glad that you're here. I hope you're enjoying the conversation. Talking about needy customers and how we fend them off or lead them astray or appease them, whatever the case may be, right? So I have had customers before in the past ask random questions that I would have never thought about for an item. So at first I thought they were wanting to, you know, scam me or something, lead me off, you know, tell me, you know, you need to reduce your price because it's not really what you're saying it is. But in essence, if because of that particular scenario, I have learned that I've got to take every question pretty much at face value, because I may not be as smart about it as I thought I was, right? No matter what the research I did. It was a collectible item and they were asking some very specific questions, so specific I couldn't see how they even are related to this item. And they, and I said, I'm sorry, I don't understand the question you're asking. Can you help me better understand how this relates to this item? And I mean, like Gary, this person wrote me a book. And I was like, oh crap. I clearly
got to read all this. Didn't read. That's so, what your response is.
TLDR. Yeah. So anyway, but you know, sometimes you're just not as smart as you think you are. And there's a lot of people smarter than you out there and they're going to tell you. And it helped me with that particular item. It helped me. Now, I didn't make that specific sale, but you know what I did do? I was able to look up the answers to their questions and update my listing as to how it relates to this collector who knew a lot more, right? So I answered his questions in my description that eventually helped it to sell because I had the answers up front. So
will you guys be like brutally honest with somebody? Because I had a customer the other day had this big knitting machine. It's like $1,399 in my store. And he wanted to know,
Adam's like, for what?
That's like a $1,400 listing. He's holy like, crap. Does this arm do such and such? When's the last time it was serviced? Did you oil the blah, blah, blah? Like asking these very specific, do I look like a knit questions? And I responded back and I was like, bro, I had to look at the owner's manual just to know how to set it up for this picture. I have never used this thing. I've never knitted. I rescued this from an estate sale and I would love to sell it to you. Like, there was no way I was going to get into a knitting knowledge war with this guy. And I did not want to answer the wrong. So I just had to be brutally honest with him. I'd never use this. And he's like, well, I only live 5 hours from you. So if I drove over to pick it up, could you give me a discount? And I was like, I'd be happy to give you a discount because I don't want to ship it, you know?
Yeah.
But he was willing to, you know, talking about willing to drive for 5 hours. But anyway, then he said, well, this would just be a backup machine. So I'll get back with you. And I'm just like, knitters are really hardcore, I guess.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Watch out for the knitters in your life.
Yeah.
They'll come at you with some questions about oil and grease.
Do you guys ever just say, I never owned this. I bought this at whatever place or.
When I get the question about how many miles have been ran on these shoes.
Yeah.
Although I know that's a valid question for runners.
Right.
When I get that question, I say, I'm a reseller of pre-owned items. I did not own this pair of shoes myself.
Oh, that's a really smart answer.
That is my canned response to that particular question. Do they ever buy them? Sometimes. But I straight up can't answer your question.
So there was a... Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to read the next thing here. Drew said, I am absolutely as smart as I think I am. Probably smarter.
I don't know if that's positive or negative. How smart do you think you are?
Yeah, how smart do you think you are? Hey, he's an electrician.
He's really clever.
Watching his video reminded me of the reels I saw once of this guy. I think he's an electrician. I think he's trying to be an electrician. He's like got wires. He put wires in his seat, trying to make a thermal seat to warm up his seat for his desk. And he like took this wire and put it all up and down the seat and then clipped each side of the wire to a plug and then plugged it into the wall. And it like instantaneously turned red hot. Oh, and yeah. He was sitting on it. He got up DIY, and he caught fire on his butt.
God. There's a guy that does a YouTube channel where he deliberately shocks himself, like with homemade, you know, electrical contraptions. I wish I could remember that guy's name.
He's I don't
like
even Russian know how you get monetized like that. Doing that kind of stuff.
I don't know.
People watch dumb stuff.
Do you think YouTube would be like, no, we're not placing ads on this?
No, I don't think YouTube would ever say that.
No?
No. I think YouTube would definitely put ads on anything people are willing to watch a million times.
Whatever draws the traffic to the site, right?
Absolutely. Speaking of YouTube, guys, let's take a minute to talk about the guys up here. If y'all have not checked these channels out, there's a link in the description down below. Gary with Dixie Overland and Rachel, Miss Rachel Strickland. How do you not know Miss Rachel Strickland? The links are down below. Click their channels, give them some love, subscribe, give us all a thumbs up if you would while you're here. But I think this is a perfect break in the system to play a game called
Love It.
Right. It's Go Home Goodwill, You're Drunk. I turned our favorite little chat session into a game that we all love to play. Now, the game is going to be Rachel versus Gary. It's going to be things I have taken pictures of and things I've actually found on the internet of outrageous pricings, or maybe. And what the game is you guys I'll show you the item, the price that was listed, that was on sale for in the thrift store. And you have to decide what's the real price. Like, what's it going for on eBay? So I've got comps too for these items. Every one of them that I have in this slide, I've looked up comps. So here's whoever gets the most right, you know, closest dollar wins, right? Without going over. So if it's $45 and somebody says $46, you went over, but the other guy said $40, they win. They got it without going over. How's that sound? Does that sound fair or not fair? Not going over part I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Sounds good. All right. Y'all keep up with your own scores. I'm not going to do that tonight. Y'all do it.
Paperwork involved.
Grab a pen, grab a paper. All right, here we go. Go Home Goodwill, You're Drunk. I did, like I said before, I resorted to some Instagram posts because I didn't have enough to fill up a whole game show tonight. But some of these are really from my store. Some of them are not. Here's the very first one. It's a vintage vinyl face cabbage patch doll. I covered up the price tag with this little Apple logo that's not part of the picture. But it's just an old vintage Cabbage Patch doll, and they wanted $75 in the store. $74.99 was the price in the thrift store. So my question to you is, what do you think the price is going for on eBay for a vinyl vintage vintage vinyl face Cabbage Patch doll? Rachel, you can go first. What do you think?
$24.99.
Gary, what do you think? What do you think the average is?
I was going to say 20, so I'll stick with my 20.
All right.
I mean, it really depends on the head mold more than anything, and especially around the mouth. Like, her mouth is very common, though. If she had teeth, if she was one of the molds that holds a pacifier, you'd talk different, but she looks very common. If they have red hair, they're worth more. If they have green eyes, but she's got brown hair, brown eyes, and a really common mouth. The best thing about it is
right. No, you're absolutely right as far as being common, because I even reached out to my friendly neighborhood cabbage patch dealer, who is Daily Cabbage, and she said, there ain't nothing special about this doll. Mm-mm. There's nothing special about this dog.
She's got good clothes.
Oh, they got some, we got some prices over here in the chat. We got 55, 37, 34. MD Picker's here. Hey, MD Picker, how are you? She's just basic, Amanda says. 22, 39. Basic. So, yeah. So, you said 24.99, Rachel. Gary, you said what?
20.
20. All right. So, according to Daily Cabbage and my comps, 30 bucks. Average price, 30 bucks. Rachel, you win that one. You're closest without going over. Because you're right. It's, I mean, just like Sarah said, there's nothing special about that doll. All right, let's move on to the next one. This is one I took myself. This is a pair of women's Fry boots, brown leather, square toe with buckles. And it is Fry. That, I mean, these are some good-looking boots. I wanted to snatch these up so fast until I saw the price tag listed at $70.
I love how they write on it, too. It's yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know why that is, right?
Yeah, I do. But
so that you can't change the stickers or remove the stickers and say you need a price. They can refer to it if the sticker comes off.
Yeah.
That's why they do it. At least it's not Sharpie.
Figure out something else.
You know, Valley Rescue Mission in our area uses Sharpie.
Mm-hmm. Our stores all use Sharpie. What do you think that is if it's not Sharpie?
That's a wax pencil.
Yeah, ours use like a wax pencil.
Oh, I feel like that's almost worse. Like, how do you get that off?
It'll come off.
Rubbing alcohol generally takes it off for us.
I learned Goo Gone is really good about it.
Yeah, but Goo Gone can smell sometimes. That's the only problem with Goo Gone. But
that's true. Mine's in fact got a tangerine smell to it. All right, so ladies, Fry boots, brown leather, square toe with buckles. They priced it at $70 in the store. What do you guys think? Gary, you can go first this time. What do you think is the average price for these women's Fry boots comps on eBay?
I'm
While you're 40, thinking about that, you say 40?
No, 45. Say 40. I was going to say 45, actually.
$45. Yeah. So let's see. Hey, Bearded Thrift Machine's up in here. No price, no sell around here. Oh, so yeah. Mm. If the price tag is gone, they'll take it to the back and not even buy it. That's crazy. You said what, $45?
Yeah.
Rachel, what do you think?
I'd like to say 79 for a style like that. Fry boots go pretty well. Those do look like kind of a dated style. They're a little worn, but let's say $79.
$79. Well, over here in the chat, we got 40, 105, 70, 70, 60, 90. So it's kind of a big, huge span of prices here. According to the comps that I found, it's $65.
No, I went over.
You went over. Wah, wah, wah. So, I mean, I estimated 65 because, I mean, this was 64 with the best offer taken. So it's going to be less. And then you got 70 and then one for 65. So I think 65 is a good middle of the road price right there on that one. What's so I can't give you 70, Rachel. A little too high.
What's the verdict on square toe shoes, boots, or whatever when it comes to women's shoes? I know in men's fashion, square toe is like, it's
faux pas, it's
fried chicken. Yeah,
ours changes so frequently, and it really depends on your outfit as well. I mean, there's certain things that like a pointed toe would look amazing. I feel like an almond toe is kind of dated, but there's some outfits I like that with. But a lot of formal shoes right now have a very blunt, like looks like you sawed it off square toe right now.
That's interesting.
And so boots, I feel like, look better square.
Really? I've always seen boots in round or pointy toe.
For men's boots, I know especially things like cowboy boots or work boots, it's not uncommon to still see square toe. I still have a pair of square toe Ariats that I wear for work stuff, you know.
I think that's what Drew's are.
But as far as like if I was going somewhere, like going to dinner or going out, I mean, it's point or
pointy cowboy like that. Boots with the ostrich leather.
That's right. That's right. Boots with fur, man.
Fireball Flipper says, I use Unisolv to remove Sharpie from wax-coated cardboard box. I've never heard of Unisolv, but I use the trick specifically, she said wax-coated cardboard box. I use the trick of using a dry erase marker over Sharpie, and then you wipe off the dry erase, and it's gone. All of it's gone. I think it's the alcohol and the dry erase or something like that. I need to give you access to click on the chat because you just laugh without telling anybody.
I'm sorry. Bearded Thrift Machine said I only wear my square toe.
That's what I was laughing at.
Oh, I didn't see it. I only wear My square toe was short jeans.
Now I have a visual.
Oh, next Boots YouTube video there, Julian. We got to see it. How does Caleb feel about that? Caleb. All right. So $65 on that one, right? All right. There's some more. How about this? This one I got off the internet. This is a mid-century pink grapefruit bowl. Now, pink grapefruit is what I got when I did a Google Lens search on this because I didn't know how to look it up to get comps. So obviously it's not a grapefruit bowl. It's not meant for grapefruit. It's the pink of the bowl that they're referring to here. But mid-century pink grapefruit bowl. First off, let me ask you this. What price, just overlandish price, do you think this bowl was in Goodwill? Just off the top of
I think that they wanted you to know it was vintage and they priced it at $70. They're insane.
Yeah. If this is local to us, it's at least $100.
No, this yeah. This one was on the online.
This was okay.
They wanted $200.
And it was on the shelf? For some kid to knock off?
$199.
Why isn't this on their online store? You know?
I don't know.
That's who knows. Yeah.
Ooh, remind me about the UGG boots that I found in my store, in our store, Gary, that right. were in the store, not online. Okay. UGG boots, remind me. So $199 was the sticker price in Google for this bowl right here.
So let me ask this real quick before we get to the pricing thing.
Yeah.
How would they know that this was $200 worth? If you're having issues trying to look it up, how are they getting this item and going, oh, yeah, that's an Art Deco piece from 1937, you know, or so? I mean,
put 200 on it. Yeah, somebody will buy it. On it.
Yeah, exactly. We always have it.
Where's Christopher I Buy Stuff? He would know about this kind of glass, wouldn't he? Doesn't he do the old stuff? Well, yeah. he does the it's definitely high price stuff.
Right? Yeah, he does nicer stuff than this. This is, can I give my price?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sure.
Listen, this is a $30 bowl. Here's the deal. I like to save vintage mid-century stuff too, but most of it, unless it's some designer, the kind of stuff he sells and Mary Garcia sells, it's not worth a whole lot. It's a labor of love to sell this vintage stuff. That's a $30 bowl.
Plus Christy shipping. Brings a really good point here. Yeah, I'm going to stop by my thrift store and drop $200 on some random stuff.
Right.
They think that you will.
Listen, I have though. I bought our bed at not Goodwill, but the random thrift store. Our bed.
Yeah.
But at least it's a bed. You know what you're getting.
Go to Goodwill. Okay. I could be setting myself up for this question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Did you go to Goodwill specifically looking for a bed?
Or
were you at Goodwill and you saw a bed? Oh, that's a nice bed.
Yeah, I was at, we had been shopping on Wayfair for like one of those tufted headboard gray beds because we're that basic apparently. And they're like hundreds of dollars. And then I walk in the local thrift store and there's one in the box for $75, tufted gray headboard and everything. And I was like, you got to be like, am I God's favorite?
That is how did dumb this luck. That is just straight up luck right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, exactly. Everybody trips over a four leaf clover every now and then.
Yeah. I will die on the sword and argue. Every time they ask me when I check out, did you find everything you were looking for? And I respond, I never come in here looking for anything specific.
That's true.
Because you can't. You can't go in there really looking for anything specific. Now, if it's like I've gone in there before looking for Halloween costume pieces to make a homemade costume, right?
Yeah.
Because I know you've got a ton of clothes, I'm bound to find a gray shirt that'll be an undershirt for this costume, right? But I never go in there thinking, oh, I need to move a new gray tough headpiece board for my bed. I'm going to go to Goodwill. I bet you they got one. Right?
Yeah. Sometimes I walk in just saying I want to find something really weird for my living room. And sometimes it works out and sometimes it doesn't.
Okay. So, Rachel, you said $30 for this bowl.
Yes. Gary,
what's your price for this bowl?
I have no clue. I'm going to say $70.
$70. Okay.
Yeah.
Lucky guess. Oh, my word. I found one.
Talking about tripping over four-leaf clovers.
I found one like it.
Wow.
One, and that's it. And it was on Poshmark for
$70. What does he put if he – wait a minute. If he
gets both showcases, right?
Like, what does he put?
He gets it dead on. You win the showcase showdown.
That's right.
I win both showcases. Okay, so we've got – I think we got two left. What's our current scoreboard look like? Rachel, how many did you get?
I got one and my difference was $5 and a penny.
All right. So, we've gone through three. So, Gary, you won the other two?
Yeah.
One by so, super.
Gary, you won two, right? And Rachel, you only got one, right? Okay. All right. The next item. The next item. Now, I got this off the internet. Sam Edelman tall tan boots with fringe. Now, they only posted on the internet this picture with the Sam Edelman name on the bottom. So, as I did research to find more out, I identified it was this type of boot. So, this isn't the exact boot they posted on the internet, but it still serves the same purpose. So basically, they're like tan fringe leather hide. I'm going to call it like hide boots. You know what I'm talking about? Brand is Sam Edelman. I personally never heard of it. Y'all ever heard of Sam Edelman?
Yeah. And there's two lines. There's like a lesser line called Sam Edelman Circus. But you don't really want to pick that up unless it is. I mean, it's kind of like Stuart Weitzman. You're going to see a lot more value when you get into the boots, especially the tall boots for Sam Edelman, Stuart Weitzman, both.
Okay. So. Would it say circus on it then, I'm assuming?
Yes. And I mean, they've got to really be special. Those are usually flats and sandals. And I want to say Target even sells that line. But Sam Edelman, without the circus, they sell purses and shoes and they have higher value.
Well, that helps me better understand this, why this is so outrageous. So this particular pair of boots, Sam Edelman boots, this person posted and it, the Google had a price of $79.99 on it. That looks like a rather old sticker, too, from 2018. Oh, my God. I just realized that. I didn't even notice that before. Yeah.
They were pricing high before pricing high was cool.
Yeah, they were. Like, they were trendsetters. All right. So what do you think these boots actually should go for, according to eBay comps? Gary, you're first.
I'm going to say $80. I bet you they got it priced right at where retail's at.
Okay. What do you think, Rachel?
$119.
Wow. Y'all know something I don't know. These people see in the chat, we got 55, maybe 60, 100 bucks, 75 bucks, 80 bucks, 110 bucks. So I thought this was going to be something outrageous. According to your numbers, it's not so bad. But according to the comps that I found, 40 bucks.
Ooh.
Those 34. Are way too cheap.
This was like across the board comps. Not
maybe because the style is really specific.
I didn't cherry pick this or anything, but like across the board, these comps.
Would you wear those? Oh, never mind. I think I would.
Would I wear them? Is that Rachel?
I just came right up.
I'm sorry. Oh, it's Rachel.
Did you boot Rachel for that question?
Yeah,
did you boot her for that question?
I feel like I could make a whole outfit out of those at FlipCon.
Yeah, yeah, you totally should.
Well, now you can get them for $34.99.
So you're saying that $80 is not far off then. Then this person that I picked this off of internet is just being petty herself, I guess, like our customers.
Maybe they were like a more recent style in 2018. They could have been going for more. It could have been like what Gary said. They looked them up specifically and they were $80. But now since it's several like iterations later, several seasons later, maybe they don't have the value.
Yeah, that example. 5 years ago, they were probably doing stuff like that. Like just direct. This is. Do you remember when the thrift stores used to put the eBay printout next to it?
Yeah. Do you remember 5 years ago when we all dressed like Pocahontas?
No. I never dressed like Pocahontas.
That was before everybody got all sensitive.
You were supposed to be John Smith.
I was going to say, I probably dressed like John Smith, right? Big John. Big John. Big John. Okay, so nobody gets a point on that one. Y'all both overshot that one. Nobody gets
we're
a point.
We're losers.
We got a ton of entertainment, though.
Rachel still is at only 1 point. Just saying. All right. Vintage Fisher Price Little People Village. So this has no little people. It's just the village. And this is not a very good shot, but I mean, y'all can imagine what this is, right? This is the price. I put my little apple over the price. Y'all can't see it.
I'm glad you said that because I was thinking, oh, it's a schoolhouse. Look at the little apple.
Yeah, it's not a barn, but it's like a, you know, it would be a barn. It's probably a store or a town or something like that. It's just one of those plastic carrying things, vintage.
We need Bama in the chat because he could definitely advise us on a price on this one.
Really?
Bama. He likes vintage little people. They used to pick them up all the time.
Really? I never see them. Vintage ones, that is. So in the thrift store, they wanted $60. Is that big enough? Can y'all see that?
Yes. Yeah.
They wanted $60 for this. And, I'm going to go ahead and cheat a little bit and tell you that's a bit outrageous. What do you think is the real price according to comps this should be? Rachel, what do you think? You're first.
It's a $27 toy all day long.
$27. Okay. What do you think, Gary?
I'm going to fire lower. I'm going to go with $15.
We got vintage RX Vintage Treasure says $29.99. We got $4, $60. I mean, $45. I may be off on the chat. $25, $30. All right, so here's the deal. One of you's definitely winning this, and one of you's not because it's $20.
No.
Wow.
$20 is the average comp price for these type of toys. And you can tell this isn't even like a specific one. This is just different. Like this one's a jail. Looks like a jail cell, jail side. This one's a Main Street piece something another. But in general, these comps are around the $18, $19, $20 mark. So
like when you make your baby registry, toy jail is always on there. So I
mean, absolutely.
I'm surprised it's
73.
Yeah. I mean, you got to raise them right, you know?
So. Up there with the Marlboro rewards, right? So.
You can actually get the toy jail with your Marlboro rewards.
That's right.
You really can. Yeah. I love those pictures of the like the 80s and 90s of the mama that was holding the baby on her hip, holding a beer in the same hand she's holding the baby and smoking the cigarette like this and then pumping the gas and all that.
It's back when we were a real country, man.
Oh, absolutely. Nothing. Everything was fireproof. Nothing would damage you. Nothing caused cancer. Rachel's like, that's too far. You've just gone too far. I mean, come on, guys. You got to tell me that growing up, you didn't used to take long distance strides as you slept in the back window of your granny's Cadillac.
Geez. Oh, dude.
Listen, I think we were born in some different time periods, but we did have a station wagon that had like the rear facing seat, and we drove from Missouri to Florida in it.
Yeah. Yeah. With the rear. Yeah. I know those. Like on National Lampoon's Vacation.
We would do that. But yeah, we definitely weren't allowed to we had seatbelts on while we were doing that. We weren't allowed like up in the window and all that stuff. But my dad tells me when he was a kid, he did that.
We're like five, 8 years at most apart.
Yeah, probably two.
But come on. I mean, totally. My granny's Lincoln was probably a tank. Okay. We would drive it down to Florida every Christmas to pick up my great aunt and drive her back up to Columbus for Christmas. Every single year, I would fall asleep in the back window of the Lincoln. I mean, because I was like, I was 4 years old, so I was probably like 2 foot tall.
Wake up with one hell of a tan. Yeah.
We were driving at night, Gary. It was.
Oh, you're good then. Yeah, you're good. So, yeah.
I mean, seriously, that was.
That is like, you raise a good point, though. Like cars then, when we used to make them out of metal, and now you have like a magnet. And like, I literally bought a race magnet once and I couldn't get it to stick anywhere on my car. I was like, turns out that's not metal anywhere.
Yeah, not even the gas covers are
like
metal.
Nothing
anymore.
Was metal on that car. And then I got my Pathfinder. That Pathfinder was a tank. Now those things are solid metal everywhere.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good car. That's a Toyota.
Got one for sale if you need it.
No. You got a Bronco now, right?
Yeah. I don't know how much of that. Probably a lot of metal there.
I would hope so. They got to compete with Jeeps and stuff like that, right?
Yeah. That's right.
There's no, come on. Who's competing?
No. Well, oh yeah,
Jeep blows them out of the water. You're right. It is no competition.
Hands down. FJ. What does FJ stand for, Gary?
Fake Jeep.
There you go.
Why don't the tops come off? They look like the tops would come off on an FJ Cruiser, but they don't.
They do when you hit the bumps too hard.
It's funny. Yeah, the FJ Cruiser actually, like back after the war, the Japanese actually saw our Jeeps, you know, storming their beaches and things like that. And they came back after the war and they started designing like a vehicle that looked just like the Jeep. As a matter of fact, Jeep actually sued them for copyright infringement. Sued Toyota because of it and actually won. So they had to change the design slightly because it was that much of a copy of it. So
that's good.
They have the coolest old military, like Willie's Jeep.
Mm-hmm.
And like down the road from us at this, the Stars and Stripes Museum.
Oh,
it's
nice.
Really cool. You'd like that one.
Oh, I bet it is. So
any kind of Jeep museum you can get Gary to go to easy.
100%.
Val says feet hanging out the window. Oh, we do that today. There's nothing old about you would. I mean, come on, hanging your feet out the window. That just feels good on the soles of your feet.
You know, I was just thinking, and I was going to make a post. I was going to tag Gary in it. It's about that time of year for the Jeep owners to have their foot right out the threshold, because heaven forbid you have the door off and not have the foot partially out the door.
Of course. That's
you're not allowed to drive like that. If you take the door off, you can't keep your feet on the floorboard. Has to be halfway out, right?
That's right. That's right. I've got some mirrors that have a foot peg attached to the mirror that you slide in after that. And it's where you can do that. Yeah. I have pictures out there on my YouTube. And I think I've actually got a YouTube video about that. So if you go out to Dixie Overland YouTube channel and go look at that, it's out there. So yeah, it's the only way to fly.
Way to throw that one out there. Riding in the back of the truck. See that?
Yeah, we did that.
Yeah, did that.
Totally.
Standing, riding in the back of the truck.
But there was like a lot of mosquitoes in that town that I grew up in. So you'd get them in the teeth.
We would get crazy. I remember in high school, we would change drivers while driving down Highway 85. And we wouldn't do it just crossing. Okay, maybe I'm telling too much. We wouldn't do it just trying to cross seats in the front seat. The passenger would have to crawl out the passenger window onto the top of the car, and then the driver would go over to the passenger seat and drive with their own cruise control with their hand steering, and then the passenger come off the top of the car in the driver window and back into the driver's seat.
That's
if you can pull that off, you're the bomb.
So when you hear about,
no, you're not.
So when you hear about Twitter having a safety committee to ensure everybody's safety, it kind of makes you chuckle a little bit, right? Considering,
let's just say,
bare hand fireworks and all this
other stuff. I'm not surprised we're seeing all this stuff on social media, because I pretty much lived the majority of it. You just didn't know it. I had no proof of it.
Didn't record it.
That's the best part. That's the best part.
That is the best part. That's why I still have a job.
That's right. Yeah. I actually wonder if we had an ability to record it back then, if we would have been dumb enough to record it, you know, you hear today, it's like, you know, you say, you know the difference between my generation and your generation, ours wasn't dumb enough to put it on film, but if we had the ability to, would we have done it?
You know, we would have. I mean, we just didn't have one of those. We had to put one of those big old things on our shoulder. You just can't do
it. The little Sony, like, handy cam. I still have it. And we would sit in the Walmart parking lot, and when people would come up to the Sonic across the road, we'd say, get on it. We'd yell, get on it. And we would record them peeling out down Business 25 there. And it was just amazing how many people were willing to roast their tires because we had a camera out there.
And that's right. That answers the question right there, Gary. If they had a camera, would you do it? Absolutely would.
Yep.
My boring reseller life says riding in the buggy and the horse boots. Watch out. Just hope he's staying below 10 miles an hour, and that way it doesn't fly out on you.
Oh, man.
I seen a wreck one time with someone that had their feet out the window, and it wasn't good. Moving on. That's scary.
Yep.
Whole baseball team in the back of the truck going to Pizza Hut after the game, baby. That's right.
Mm-hmm. I remember my dad let me sit on his lap once when I was little and drive his. He had a red Ford F-150, and he let me sit on his lap. I thought I was really driving.
That's how we learned to drive at the age of 12.
Yeah.
I'm not making that up. I mean, we lived in the country on dirt roads. My best friend would get in his parents' lap to drive, like, so far away from the house, right? Not like the whole way. And I do the same thing because, I mean, that's how I knew how to drive by the time I was 15. I was driving by myself already. I can't get my son to even think about getting in the driver's seat right now.
No, like, how old is he?
14. Oh. I'm like, he's just, I will admit, he's as tall as I am, if not an inch taller. And I'm like, you could totally start learning how to drive now so that you'll already be ready by the time the time has to be here, because I'm not driving you around all your life. You'll be walking or taking cabs, man. I'm not driving you around all your life. And he won't do it.
The bus schedule. So
I think one day, and now would be a good time to do it since Paige is out of town. I'm gonna just pull over and be like, okay, you get in the driver's seat. We're gonna get started. First time.
Mm-hmm. Just ambush him with it. That's throwing somebody
in the parking lot.
Yeah,
throw him at the end of the pool. That's the way.
That's right. Yeah, you'll swim.
Yeah. We put a tarp in a truck bed. Is that a terp?
I think you mean tarp.
We put a terp.
I like terp better. I like terp.
That's a Tennessee thing. They use terps, not tarps.
We put a terp in a truck bed and filled it with water, drove around town in the bed like it was a pool. I've not witnessed that personally, but I've heard it could be done before.
So redneck. They make cool liners for truck beds now.
Do they really? I didn't
know that. Walmart sells them here.
Mm-hmm. I've seen those. And I want them to come in the back end of that truck. Like,
I mean, how many gallons of water would that? 8 pounds to a gallon. Like, how much?
It'd be a lot of weight.
That'd be a lot of weight.
A lot of weight. Mm-hmm.
So our very first pool was basically a horse trough filled with water so that we could cool down after doing our summer chores. Mm. And that's how
works.
I mean, it's cool. It's probably only like 3.5 to 4 foot wide and 2 foot deep. I mean, it's not that big at all, but it cooled you down when you needed to be cooled down. But we didn't have a pool. That was our very first pool. And I used to, when we were traveling in a different location in a different car, much, much smaller, because I have two older sisters, they would sleep one way, one facing the, you know, opposite directions from one another, right? With their feet were basically in their face. I would get on the floorboard and sleep. And all the traveling we did was at night, guys. And the reason is because my dad worked late. That's why. So he would drive at night. But on the floorboard, you can get a good night's sleep on the floorboard, too. And in the cold, it's warm down there because of the heat of the engine and so on in the road.
I mean, maybe you guys are fugitives and you just didn't know it.
Maybe.
Yeah, it's like, keep your head down, boy.
Keep your head down. Well, we're only driving at night and everyone's got to lay down.
And, yeah. if anybody pulls us over, there's nothing in the trunk. You know?
That might explain why he never turned his headlights on and it was a black car. Oh, man. My older kids waited a bit to get their license, but my youngest got it the day after he turned 16. Dude, I was dropped off at the driver's license bureau on my 16th birthday, and my mom said, good luck, son.
Yeah, Dello got his just right after turning 16.
I couldn't drive until I was 17. The deal is that my mother didn't want me to drive until I was 18, which I was like, why? And, you know, she just didn't feel safe about it. So she said the deal was if I took driver's ed in school, then I could drive. Like, they were going to teach me anything. And so I took it when I was 17 and I went and got my license after that. But it was funny. Everybody in the driver's ed class had a learner's permit and I didn't. I wasn't.
And they were younger than
that.
You too.
And they were younger than me. Wow. I took it when I was a senior in high school.
Yeah. We didn't have driver's ed.
We didn't either.
We barely had it. It was just one of those things that they used to fill a coaching position. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, the basketball coach needs a job. Okay. Let's make him driver's ed. Who cares? You know, that's basically exactly what happened.
Wow. Maybe part of the reason why we don't know history and kids don't know history is because they let the coaches teach history.
Right.
That is always a coach spot.
Isn't it, though? I mean, what is up with that?
It is.
History or economics? I don't get it. Mm-hmm. My mother, Christy says, my mother wouldn't let me get my license until I was 17. She loved me too much.
Yeah, I'll go for that.
I love my kids so much. I'm getting them their license as soon as they can get it.
Yeah,
which I kind of regret that for my daughter now. But hey, live and learn, right? I got a job so I could get that early access license. I think it was a hardship. Oh, that makes sense. You got to get your license so you can go to work. Okay, mm-hmm. I haven't personally witnessed that type of license, but I've heard of it. All right, everybody. Anthony C is here. Better late than never. Thank you for showing up, my friend. Just in time for us to sign off.
He's been busy building that Rivendell, the new Lord of the Rings Lego castle, like the huge one. Oh, he went and bought it. Yeah. He's been busy doing that. That's why he wasn't here in time.
I like Lord of the Rings. Hey, this is something you could totally play in the background as you do something like that. So remember that next time. Well, we're going to sign off for the evening. I had a really good time hanging out and chatting with everybody, especially getting a little bit of this stress off of our shoulders when talking about unhappy or nagging or needy customers, y'all. And that's what this reseller sessions are going to be all about. We're just going to vent and talk about the random stuff that makes our reseller life a little bit messy. First off, I want to say thanks for hanging out with us. And secondly, if you haven't subscribed to Gary or Rachel, hit that description down below and their links. We will find them. Signing off now. Rachel, have you got anything for our viewers you want to leave with them?
I think Christy had the best advice today. Just keep it professional and positive. If you do have the crazy buyer questions or what Adam said, sometimes you just got to ignore them.
That's true. Positive or ignore. That's a two good outs.
Just don't Gary, be negative.
Gary, what you got going on, man?
There's a lot going on. I will say, as far as the thing we had about messages, if they can't make a coherent sentence, you can always refer them over to ChatGPT to formulate the sentence for them, and then they can ask you properly about the item. I was going to say, stay tuned to our channel too over at Dixie Overland. There's a lot of really good stuff coming up. We're going to be going to Jeep Beach coming up at the end of this month in Daytona, Florida, which is going to be the first time we go there. And it's this absolutely massive show that's on the East Coast. And you can drive and park and everything like that right there on the beach. So that's going to be something pretty special to go see.
That will be cool. That's over. Is Daytona part of that? Daytona Jeep Beach.
Yes. So
I know you can park on your beach in Daytona is what I'm getting at.
Yes, you can.
I love Daytona.
And the vendor show is actually inside the Speedway itself. So awesome. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So Gary just gave me a really good idea, and maybe this will be my last tip of advice. If you get that question from a customer you just don't want to attend to, whatever the question may be, and you just want to answer it, go over to Google Translate and pick the most random language you can and then send it to them in a different language, and that'll help you get that sale. I guarantee you. Thanks, everybody, for coming out tonight. I hope you all have a wonderful evening. Don't forget to subscribe and give a thumbs up while you're still here. See you later. Have a good night.
Bye, y'all.